Hello and welcome to the latest in our series of Global Voices podcasts from the School of Health and Life Sciences. The aim of these is to get some insights into what it's like to be an international student at Glasgow Caledonian University and to learn a bit more about the programmes and departments in the school. My name is Dr. Gordon Hill and I'm the Departmental International Lead in the Department of Nursing and Community Health. And I'm joined today by Dr. Artaban Jeldi, who's a lecturer and the programme lead for the MSc Advanced Physiotherapy Practice in the Department of Physiotherapy and Paramedicine, is also the international lead in the department. I'm also joined by Abdullah Mohammed and Ritika Kapadia, who are two of the students on the MSc Advanced Physio Practice programme. So I thought we'd just jump straight in and ask you a bit about yourselves. And so Ritika, could you start us off, please?
Thanks for inviting me here, Gordon, to speak about the course and myself as well. So I'm Ritika Kapadia. I'm from India. I'm currently studying the MSc Advanced Physiotherapy Practice at Glasgow Caledonian University. I completed my bachelor's degree in India and I have gained a year's experience in clinical practice in musculoskeletal field of physiotherapy. And as I was planning for my master's and looking for universities, I wanted to study abroad. I wanted to explore different cultures and healthcare practices that were practiced internationally. So I chose to come here to GCU.
Perfect. Thank you. And Abdullah?
First of all, hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me for this podcast. I was born in Rawalpindi, Pakistan, a city next to the capital, Islamabad. Mm-hmm. So I did my schooling over there in Rawalpindi. I did my O-levels and A-levels in Rawalpindi. Then I went for my undergrad studies as a five-year program called Doctor of Physical Therapy in a university called Rifa International in Islamabad as well. So after graduating, I did my 6 months of what you call a residency or a house job in a government hospital that was affiliated with my university. Mm-hmm. So after completing that, I went to the 3 months of internship at a rehab center. Then furthermore, I got an offer at a private hospital in Islamabad. I did my 9 months over there, and after that, I'm now here in the Glasgow, in Glasgow Caledonian University.
Perfect, thank you. Excellent. And Artaban, do you want to say a bit about yourself?
Well, thank you, Gordon. Thank you for inviting all of us, and especially for this interesting global summit. So a bit about myself. My name is Artaban Jeldi. I'm originally from India. I kind of came into this country in 2008-09. I came in as with my wife, and interestingly, my wife did the same program which my students are doing.
Okay.
So she did, it was called Healthcare Science, Master of Science, Healthcare Sciences at that point. And she did a one-year master's, and I came as a dependent. And obviously, I got a job here as a physiotherapist. I came here prepared. I had my HCPC, so I came here prepared. So I got a job within 3 to 4 months in Edinburgh. I worked there for around 6 to 8 months, and then I got another job in Sunderland. I went there, worked there for a bit. And then in around 2011, I came back to Glasgow Caledonian as a student. And this time, I was a student and my wife was a dependent, and I got a PhD, a fully funded PhD, and I was doing that for 5 years. And then from there, I went on to work in Golden Jubilee National Hospital. This is the hospital where I did my data collection for my PhD. And after which, in 2019, there was an opening of a lecturing job at GCU. And I took it in both arms. I was passionate about teaching. I always loved teaching. I liked students. I liked mentoring them, guiding them. So that was my kind of golden job at that point. And I've taken it with open arms. And I'm here for the past 6 years. And recently, 3 years ago, in fact, I've taken up the role as the program lead as well. So I've seen three batches of these students go past my mentorship or my leadership. And yeah, so that's me here. And I love to see a lot more people coming through the door as well.
Marvelous.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you. And an award winner from the recent teaching awards.
Yes,
so congratulations.
In fact, thank you for that. Last week I got the teaching award for Inspirational Individual. Thank you for that. And I'd like to thank my students for that, in fact. So I have done something right, I guess. I have inspired.
Absolutely.
Them. So that was a good feather on my cap. And I'd like to thank my students for that again.
And an award-winning cricketer as well? Or?
Yes, I love cricket. Anybody from the Southeast Asian countries, like India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, they love their cricket. So I maintain that. I play for a club here called Munns Cricket Club. It's based in Newton Munns.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a 63-odd team, and we play in four different divisions. And we're really good. We've got a women's team. We've got a under-14 team. So, and I keep myself fit. I'm a bowling all-rounder, so I like bowling as well as batting. But yeah, nowadays I do mentoring because I'm around 40 plus and my knees don't go the way I want them to when I bowl. So yeah, I love my cricket. Thank you.
And I think it looks like from social media that sometimes the biggest opponent is rain here.
Yes, of course, Scotland, you know, you've been here. I think you've been born and brought up in Scotland, so you know. We see four different seasons in the same day. So yeah. Summer, winter, snow, and the wind. So, yeah. And most of the time, the rain wins. But once the sun is there, we hope to win. And we do well.
Could you just briefly just tell us a bit about the program?
Yes. So the program is a one-year MSc Advancing Physiotherapy program, which is open for both home students as well as international students. So we've got the entry requirements for the same program is that you need to be a physiotherapist first with a 2-1 in your undergrad, and you need to have an IELTS score of overall 6.5 with individual levels of 6 in each of the components. Those are the two main criteria. However, if you don't have a 2-1 or a 60% according to the admissions, we do take in other students who are just about near the 60 if you have some work experience.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is work experience does matter quite a bit in this higher levels of education, because the whole of our program is based on clinical reasoning and evidence base, and that comes from experience. Like if you've done some work before, that will help you apply the knowledge which you gain from here. So we've got around 2 core modules, which is the advancing professional practice, and we've got another research module called advancing research module. So those are 30 credit modules. Every student has to do that as a mandation. And also at the end of the program, they do their dissertation, which is a 60 credit module, which is also mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And also they've got to do 2 optional modules, which comes in Tri-B, and they can choose from a lot of 6 to 8 modules which we have, and there's a vast variety there. They can do a MSK based module, a neuro based module, a diabetic pathway based module, leadership modules, biomechanics based modules, and so on. There's kind of a suite of modules which we have available for the students which they can pick and choose from. The modules are quite interesting in such that they are all evidence based, and there's a wee bit of practical components also available. One main question which students keep asking me is, do they have placements in this program? I must say at the outset, we do not have placements, because you're all already physios who are trained and experienced physios from wherever you come from. So you do not need that practical experience, but you need the theoretical experience, the evidence-based experience, the clinical reasoning-based experience which you need. And that's what we try to facilitate in our program. So we do not have placements at all. But a few of our modules, that is the neuro and the MSK modules, we do have some amount of practical adjuncts to it coming into the lectures as such, but that is just to refresh your old knowledge which you have already. So that's how it's run. That's the whole program in a nutshell.
Good. Excellent. Thank you. So I wonder if I could go back and to see what led you to study at GCU. So Abdullah, do you want to start first with that one? How did you end up in Glasgow?
I graduated in 2023, so almost all my class fellows, they were like pursuing their masters. So because in Pakistan, especially if you want to get a job as a permanent job at a hospital or like advance your career, so you need to have those masters as part of your CV.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I want to do masters. But looking at the programs that were in Pakistan, even though they were really good in terms of if you want to like study and stay focused on that, but for me, I wanted to do my master's somewhere where I could be able to learn in a different way, where due to international experience, where I could able to see and observe what other people, other nations, how they operate, how they deliver, like how they practice.
Mm-hmm.
How do they teach? So for me, I wanted to experience that. So out of those countries, I had like shortlisted a couple of countries, Canada and the UK. But while going through those universities, and especially in Canada, most of them were like heavily research-based, and they were like 2 years research programs. And there were limited MSc related to the physiotherapy field. So, and plus on top of that, tuition fee was quite high as well. So that is also needs to be considered as well. So taking that into account, I went to the UK universities. So I wanted to see which program is relevant to my studies and how I want it, how it's going to advance my own field. So out of these universities, so Glasgow Caledonian University came up, checked its ranking. It was quite high in its School of Health and Life Science, especially. Furthermore, I checked their staffing. Mm-hmm. Their staff were like really had great credentials. So that were like steps that were leading me towards the GCU. Excellent. And applying it later on. So overall, like over there, I checked the description and everything. It kind of aligned with it, with the optional modules mm-hmm. being offered in the second trimester, especially advancing musculoskeletal practice, neuro practice. So these were some of those like that inclined me towards the GCU more. And I applied, got selected, and I'm here.
And how far are you both through your program?
We have completed second trimester.
Okay, you're both at the same stage, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to start with our dissertation this month.
Oh, right, okay, grand. And Ritika, how about yourself? How did you choose GCU?
So I've always wanted to study abroad, but initially I figured I need to understand what's the working in India, how we practice. So I basically started to work at a clinic for a year, but then I realized that I need more knowledge and more, I mean, I need to understand more about evidence-based practice and research more on articles so that I understand what's new in the field. So I thought I should like move abroad, understand what's going on internationally. So I started to research more for the universities. I looked at many universities around the UK. I thought GCU would be better because I also spoke to the alumni of this university and I got really good insights from them. I got good feedback from them about the university. And I also think there were a lot of different modules from which I could select. I mean, I wanted to do musculoskeletal, but I also wanted to learn more about different sections of healthcare, not just only with physiotherapy, but some other things. Like I chose the leadership module in my second semester, which I think will help me in my later stages of the career. So I feel the modules quite suited my learning interests and goals.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up here.
And I think the option modules add something quite different, don't they? Because they allow you to almost make the program suit what you want to do.
Yes, that's correct, Gordon. So because of the optional modules which we have, we've got like a physiotherapy stream modules and generic stream modules. So in this day and age, not only physio students should be kind of well-versed with their own agenda, own specialities, but also look at other colleagues, how they work. And the generic modules like the leadership module, diabetes modules, for instance, we've got 215-credit diabetic modules which are on. Diabetes is one of the major novel topical issues in India, Pakistan, Middle East. So our students are kind of wanting to learn more about that, how to kind of deal with them. Even though it's a generic module, they learn more about it and they get a one-day placement in the hospital through the module and they kind of learn a lot in that particular one day as well. So that is one thing. And we have other small modules called applied pathophysiology, infection control. These are all nursing-led modules which you would be aware of. And our students get to partake in them as well if they want to. But they may not be more physio-focused, but the generic focus is always there. And it's more to do with global health and more to do with advancements in health as well, which they can learn. So they get a choice. Our students get a choice. They can either do our specific physio modules or a generic module or a combination of both. I think that's what it is. And one point which Jamal was saying about the ranking, which I forgot to mention, my bad, GCU has been really doing well over the past few years, and we've been in the top 1, 2, 3 ranks. I think the Sunday Times ranking, which comes out every year. So we've been doing really well along with other departments in the School of Health and Life Sciences, I must say. So that is a key drawer of students as well, a magnet for students, I would say.
I think so. And I think that the kind of some of the generic modules, I mean, a big strength at GCU is the interprofessional learning. And I think when you're learning alongside colleagues from other professions, I think that can often help to get a better understanding of what other roles there are in healthcare and how those interface. And yeah, I think there's a real strength in those option modules and being able to, as I say, almost make the programme bespoke to what you want it to be. And how about, what was it like arriving in Glasgow? Yeah, because I'd imagine it might have been a bit of a shock. We've talked about the rain, which always comes up in these. I have to say it was me that brought it up this time, but yeah. So yeah, so how did you find arriving in Glasgow?
So I was initially very scared about how I would settle here, how I would start my course, how I would understand what's going on, how I would suit the weather, would suit me or not. So yeah, that was a bit scary, but initially it was scary, but then I settled in and yeah, the weather is very unpredictable. I mean, it would rain one time and it would be sunny the other time. So yeah, but it was fun. It was initially difficult, but now it's relatively very easy once I got settled in.
Okay, and socially, how about that?
Oh, I made a lot of friends here, and I think it's very important to network and understand what the culture is around. And I think it's very important to interact with different people and understand different traditions so that, you know, you can broaden your perspective about things. When you are in your own comfort, when you're in your own country, it becomes very monotonous, very stagnant. But when you move to a new country, it really broadens your perspective about everything, in terms not also in terms of like studies or academics, but also in terms of other things like how the people have work-life balance here. I mean, in my country, it's a bit lagging in work-life balance, but here I've understood the importance of work-life balance here. Mm-hmm. That's one thing.
Abdullah?
My journey started, first arrived in England, Manchester. So luckily, one of my cousins were there to pick me up and take me to their home. I stayed for one day only. For that, I booked my train ticket to Glasgow Central Station, arrived here. It was sunny weather. It was around mid of September. So I walked up to my accommodation. As I was walking, I was looking into the buildings. It was like being in the 19th century and 21st century at the same time. So some of these buildings were really old, but beautiful though. And so went to my accommodation, took a bath, then slept like a baby. And it's really different. You can't just really describe it because I stayed there in my country for I've never traveled in 20 years. So arriving here, totally new country. You can watch lots of YouTube videos. You can watch tons of stuff in the internet. But unless you experience it in real life, you cannot really realize wow, it's different. Yeah. You're not in your own country. The people are not familiar looking than you are. So we're always really pleasant. People are really friendly. Even though I had difficulties first communicating with the locals, over the time I able to made friends, local friends in my class as well, classmates as well, lots of Indian friends. Mm-hmm. There's a Somali guy, there's a South Korean. There's tons of people from different nationalities that you interact with them. You get to know their how they think, able to interact with them, learn something. Mm-hmm. You know, with every person you meet, you learn something new.
The accent here is quite tricky to understand at first, but now we've gotten very used to it.
Yeah, and I did notice it earlier on when Artaban said something that wee means small in Scottish. So yeah,
I've been here for 17, 18 years now, so I picked up a lot of the lingo. And I've got a son, 7-year-old, who goes to primary school here, and he comes with a lot of lingo as well. So yeah, I kind of use that in class sometimes to familiarize my students with them, and I do explain to them what they mean. So I do my bit.
Yeah, but I think sometimes the Scottish accent, if it's obviously there's different dialects around Scotland for such a small country, there's lots of different dialects. But sometimes it can be completely indecipherable what people are saying. You know, it's quite something. It sounds like, you know, you've learned some new skills just by studying abroad. I've heard some people say before that makes them feel a bit more resilient, you know, just a bit more adaptable, I guess. Would you agree with that? Just because you've exposed yourself to a different environment, you've learned in a different country. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Because in our country, it was very comfortable. Like, I was very comfortable. I didn't have to cook. I didn't have to do anything that I'm doing here. I didn't have to go to the grocery market shop and get some things for me. I didn't have to cook. But here, it's very different. I mean, I have to do everything on my own. I have to do, like, wash up, cook for myself, create a bank account, manage my finances, work, and also study all at the same time. So, I mean, I've started to do things very independently, and I think I'm proud of myself to, like, balance everything together.
Quite right, yeah. Abdullah, would you say?
Yeah, I agree with her. Like, juggling between different things, having a part-time job, and doing, like, simple tasks like cooking your own food, washing your clothes, bringing up groceries, and as well studying as well. So juggling between the three of them becomes a bit challenging at first. But I think as a human nature, we adapt.
Yeah, we've adapted quite well now, I think. Yeah.
And how about keeping in touch with people back home? How have you managed to do that? Is that, I presume technology helps with these kind of things, yeah?
Technology, yeah. It's like the best thing. Like, I get to talk to my parents. I get to, like, speak with them once in a while. I mean, not easy to manage everything together. So, yeah, but I do take out some time to speak with them every day. And it makes me feel better, actually. Like, I'm not alone here. I have my friends. I have my professor, who's very helpful. I have the student campus life desk, which helps us a lot in case we are not feeling well, or we can always talk to them if we are not well or something. But, yeah, I think technology has helped. I mean, I can speak to my friends at home, back home. So I think it's a good way.
Most of our classmates, like, live in the student accommodation. So we are in touch with, like, we see each other quite frequently. So that helps a lot. Like, even, like, if you know someone down the street, like, it feels good that there is someone out there. So as far as, you know, technology has helped us a lot. I mean, me personally, if I want to cook something, like, you know, Pakistani food, or some, if I want to cook some chicken korma or, like, any dish, I call my mother. She tells me what spices to add. So I can cook the same food that I was given back at home over here. And
I think we maybe need a GCU cookery book.
But I think we've become very nice cooks here. Like, we can cook a lot of tasty food now.
And I guess those other life skills that I guess any student would have if they when they move away from home. Yeah, and I guess it's part of growing up, I guess, isn't it? You know, being independent and what would you say the best thing was about being an international student? Abdullah, do you want to start?
I mean, interacting with people from different nationalities, the diversity you can get. Because, as I said earlier, like, you able to, when you talk with them, with people from different nationalities, you learn something new. The way they think, the way you share your beliefs. And the thing over here, it's open yours or broadens your mind as well. So you're not in a more of a, you know, like in a, like a, what do you call it, a nutshell, or like you're more open. So you, like last week, I met a person from Togo, country in Africa. I mean, I never knew about it. I knew about Tonga, but Togo is a totally different country. So when interacted with them, we had a laugh. We were like a bit of chit chat with each other. So this is something that is totally new.
Yeah.
As well as really, personally, I think it's a privilege as well for me as an international student. And on top of that, as an international student, it's also a privilege as well to be able to learn from these professors, the teaching staff as well, because they are more specialized into their respective subjects. So when they're teaching you, you are getting from the best of the best. So acquiring that knowledge is something of a blessing as an international student as well.
Lovely. Thank you. Ritika?
So, best thing being about being an international student, I feel it has helped me a lot, like professionally and personally as a person, like networking and connecting with a lot of different people from different countries, helped me broaden my perspective in terms, not only in terms of academics, in terms of speaking up, in terms of how people live, how, like, I was never so relaxed in my country. I mean, I didn't know what work-life balance was. I used to work all the time and I never got the chance to like enjoy myself. But here I, when I see people enjoying and like sitting around in parks and sunbathing, so it feels nice. I mean, that's one thing that we can all learn from as an international student, from students or from people here, to like enjoy your life and, you know, include that in your daily life work as well.
And have you managed to do any traveling around Scotland or around Europe or the UK at all?
Yes, I did. I mean, I went to Loch Lomond, I went to Pitlochry. I recently also went to the St. Andrews Park, where we like got to see deers and I fed them.
Wow.
It was amazing. I mean, also GCU took us to a lot of day trips around, so it was quite affordable and it was very convenient. They arranged for all our travels, mm-hmm. and so we could explore a lot of things around here. I also am planning a trip to the Highlands soon, so I'll be lucky if I go there.
Abdul?
Yeah, I went to trip with her as well. I think the GCU trips, one-day trips are like really fantastic. Mm-hmm. They organized to Edinburgh. I remember my first trip was to go to Edinburgh during the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
So the Christmas market over there was really like really interesting as well. So many people out there, like they have their own like a carnival going on over there. So went to Dunkeld. There's a forest hermitage trail.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of those Earl of Mansfield's own forest protected.
Mm-hmm.
So went there, and after that went to the Scone Palace.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that was really beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and there were peacocks roaming around over there. So after that, I think I went to Perth,
mm-hmm.
and there like recently went to St. Andrews as well. So there was every trip. They had a guide with us. So they were telling about the history, where to go, where the best places are at, so where we can find the best food.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really nice going out there.
Good.
In fact, Gordon, Abdullah is very modest. He's just gotten permission from me to go to Paris.
Wow.
So he's heading there for a holiday. So he'll get another European outlook as well.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And I guess that's one of the benefits of, you know, being in Europe is that, you know, in Scotland anyway, I mean, as well, because the places you're talking about, you know, you're the maximum of 2 hours away from Glasgow and you're completely in the countryside, you know, and you're out of the city. It's the landscape is very different, but also there's so much connectivity in Europe that, you know, you can be in Paris in an hour and a half on a plane. You can get a train to London in 4 hours, you know, you can... You know, there's so many other things that you can do in terms of exploring while you're in Glasgow. So it's great to hear you're taking advantage of that, and I love Paris. So, I mean, I'm sure you'll have a fabulous time.
Also, being a student, we get many student discounts on travel as well. So that's quite convenient for us.
Absolutely. So we've talked about the best things. What have you found to be the most challenging things? You're smiling. You got a list there, have you?
I mean, everything was challenging at first. You know, getting here, getting a cab. I mean, getting a cab was easy, but searching my way through, understanding the routes here, understanding how the buses work, the timetables, how to create a bank account. I mean, that was a bit daunting at first, but I think it was pretty easy. I mean, everything here is quite easy and everything is online, so you can do everything sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most difficult part was managing cooking, studies.
Okay.
and doing basic chores at the house. I mean, it's not easy for an international student, basically, because we have everything done at our home. We never have to do anything. But after coming here, it was quite like we had to do everything. We have to like complete all the tasks. So also a challenging thing was the National Health Service. I mean, we did go to the NHS, but the treatment there was quite delayed. So I would suggest the international students to get their medications from their home country written on their prescriptions so that they can navigate through the any cold or anything, stomachache, anything that they can go through without consulting a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that.
Anything academic wise, do you have any challenges there comparing yourself to India to or your home country to UK?
Yes, academically, studies in India are quite different from what we study here. In India, it was all learning and then giving an exam, but here it was critically, you have to critically think, you have to reflect on what you've studied, what you've learned throughout the whole session. And so that was quite different. I mean, critically thinking and writing an essay is very different from what we did. So that was very challenging. But the services at GCU Library and my professors, they were very, very helpful and helped me accommodate my studies.
And what now, this is a rather pointed question, but what benefit do you think you're learning that criticality has given you as a physiotherapist?
So thinking critically, I feel I can understand the patient's needs more properly, and also I can apply the techniques that I've learned. I mean, learning the theory and understanding is different, and applying it critically to a patient is very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can learn 100 different things, but if I don't know how to apply it properly, I don't know how to critically think whether this is right or wrong. That is very important. So I feel I have understood that part here.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot of different techniques here. I mean, they were not practiced back in India, but people are practicing it here, and very different approach to therapy. It's very patient-centered and very evidence-based. I mean, we never searched for articles or searched for things back in India. I mean, here people rely mostly on articles, journals, evidence-based. So that is one thing that that was very challenging at first, but now I feel that is the best way to treat a patient, because if I don't know what's going on in the real world, what's new, I won't be able to treat that person appropriately. So I think that's one thing.
Abdullah?
In first trimester, our subject called Advancing Professional Practice. That one, it felt really daunting at first, because you had to create your continuous professional development sort of portfolio, and you had to add in that evidence is what you have done in your career. So in order to extract, how to reflect what you have done and write it down in that portfolio, it was really I wasn't really sure how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember I approached Dr. Artaban. It was his usual every week. He has a drop-in session. And I was really confused back then. So I just brought in my laptop and asked for his advice. So could you please just guide me? Because he was also my lecture teacher as well. So he provided me that general outline, how to proceed, and that helped me a lot for the most. So over every week, they kept on giving us information, so how to develop it, because so that we could able to pass our module as well as a learning process. Mm-hmm. As a professional growth, I think it was really important to go through all that what I experienced in that module. So that was really interesting.
Okay.
As far as challenges are concerned, the evidence-based practice over here. So the word that I learned over here is a simple word, why.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're doing, why are you doing? Why? So if you get stuck in anywhere, it means you don't have a strong basis on what you're saying. So if you don't have strong basis on what you're saying, how are you going to practice? How are you going to deliver it? So I think that's a really important thing. So looking at the patients, now I personally look at what are their hobbies? What things do they like doing? What are their approach like?
Mm-hmm.
Are they into some particular hobby that I could incorporate during the treatment protocol? Things like that. Looking at it holistically, this is something I feel that was fed into us, this is how you need to approach to the patients.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, everything needs to have a backing, and research needs to be there. But not only research, good research, because there are plenty of evidence is out there. You need to be more specific and how what you choose and what you apply. So this is something.
I think Artaban must be very proud listening to you here.
Yeah, because APP was my subject and I did have a few challenges. And going back to what they were saying about what was new to them and what challenges they faced, one thing I realized or observed while taking classes was not for the past 4 or 5 years, 6 years since I've been here, is most of our international students or home students also, once they are in a cohort, they do not put their heads up to answer or hands up to answer. They try hiding behind stuff. And I am a lecturer who tries to interact, who tries to bring out their conversation, who tries to kind of facilitate that. And I think to start with, it was difficult, but towards the end, or towards the last 6 weeks, I found it very easy to interact with them because they had that knack to come out of the shell and answer. So that was facilitated quite well, mm-hmm. I believe. And that is one thing which I think every university in UK does, but I would say especially the physio-based university, we do that quite well. That interaction, that bringing out that peer-based learning, all of that is done quite excellently. So yes, I am indeed, I'm proud of my students.
Good, quite right as well.
I was very shy initially, but then after Sir's lecture, I was confident in speaking out with different people in class. I mean, I never had the ability like to speak up in like a group of people, but I think I can do it now.
Yeah.
I feel more confident.
Yeah, and that goes back to some of the other skills that I think that you learn as a student or as an international student, and that's going to have positive implications for your career as well, that you're going to feel more confident about expressing yourself in environments that are, I guess, a bit different from what you've experienced before. So it helps to make you a more well-rounded and confident practitioner. And that reflection that you mentioned, Abdullah, and the critical thinking, Ritika, that you mentioned, are such key components to being a kind of a well-rounded professional. They're really important skills to have, and it's really amazing to hear how that the programme helps you to bring these out, and the kind of expert teaching that you have on the programme, how that helps you develop these skills as well as the things that you're developing yourself. So I'm saying how proud Artaban, but I mean you should be really proud of yourselves as well, because it's a you know the journey that you've been on and you will be on over the next while. It's very inspiring to hear that, I have to say. So going into the next question, what advice would you give to new international students? So things that you did that you think, oh, I'm really glad I did that. You were mentioning about kind of being prepared, Ritika, but are there things that you did that you think, I'm really glad I did that, or are there things that you think, oh, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd been better prepared, or I wish that I'd thought about that in advance. You know, I wish I hadn't watched all those YouTube videos, or I wish... what advice would you give to...
I would ask them to, like, take the leap of faith, trust the process, come here. I mean, do something different. Just staying in a shell, just doing what you feel comfortable in, that's quite easy. But if you challenge yourself, if you come out of your comfort zone, I feel that makes you a better individual. So I would ask them to actually learn new things, learn new cultures, learn new traditions. So yeah, I think that would be my advice for the people out there.
Okay. And Abdullah?
It's the same in a way, like, there's two students who want to study abroad. At first, they're really excited. When the process starts, for me, personally, it started like you getting more emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. Because you see, for 1 year at least, you are moving abroad. You won't be seeing in person your family members. So it was like mixed feelings for me at first. So I want to advise the new students is take the process, like follow the process, just arrive. It gets better with time. It's not something like that's it'll stick for a really long time. Mm-hmm. That emotional distress you're in, it will get better over the period of time, because obviously, when you're in a new place, new challenges are out there. So over the period of time, you obviously get adjusted to that place. So it's not that a difficult journey. Mm-hmm. if you think about it, it will definitely get better over the time.
Yeah, I mean, we do miss our families a lot, but I feel like a lot of things like company around here, the friends we make, the professors here at GCU, even the well-being team here at GCU, they're very helpful. So if there's anything, you can always contact them. So I don't think that's something that you should worry about here when you come here. I mean, it's scary to be in a new country with everything new around you, everything different, but I feel once you come here, it will just get better. So don't be scared. That was one thing that I would like to add.
Yeah. First, I want to advise upcoming students to please bring some warm clothes with them, especially some raincoat or to protect with you from the winter as well as rain.
So kind of moving towards the end of the questions that I have. So what are your intentions at the end of the course? Are you going to go back home? Would you like to stay in the UK? Would you like to go somewhere else? Maybe Paris?
The thing is, I'm currently working as a part-time, you know, at a Royal Mail, basically. I was, so as a part-time job, it's okay. But obviously I want to transition into my own field, my own physiotherapy field. So the process is getting myself registered with the HCPC, and which would make us eligible to work in the UK. So my intentions are to at least get in the process of registration, get myself registered, look out for the job. Meanwhile, with all that going on, having the part-time job still going on as a means of support, plus as well as continuing my continuous professional development as well. So going through those online courses, certifications, whether they're in person as well, so which would further strengthens up my own clinical skills as well as keep me in track. I don't get off track, because if you are absent from your own field over a period of time, you definitely start losing or forgetting things. So I'll keep that in mind as well, because I don't want to detract myself.
It's the same for me. I mean, I am working part-time at the... I will be starting my new job as a healthcare assistant at the NHS. And I'm also working another part-time. So I will manage those both, along with searching for an actual physiotherapy job at the NHS or maybe a private clinic. So I'm in the process of getting my HCPC completed around in 2 months. So I think I'll start applying for jobs, and also, as Abdullah said, I will also be doing my continuous professional development on different courses I feel that would be relevant in the job that people expect us to like have the skills to do the job. So I would be doing that as well. Yeah, that would be it.
My kind of advice to students who are coming in is, looking at the job market right now, as well as the climate, the political climate, it may look that it is going to become difficult for us to get jobs here. But that may be the case, but there are jobs available. You can apply for jobs, you can come in here. But to do that, you need to be prepared for it. So my advice would be to come here with the HCPC. If you can apply for your HCPC from India, Pakistan, wherever you are, get that sorted first before you come here. And also try and gain some experience in your own home country as a physio, so that you can use that particular experience for applying for while you apply for jobs here. So that will be easier way to kind of not waste time. The reason being, when you are a student, you can work for 20 hours a week as a part-timer. And instead of working elsewhere, you can straight away apply for healthcare support work jobs within the NHS or clinics. And you may be lucky enough to get through because you have a HCPC and you have that experience with you. So as a program lead, that has always been my advice, and that always will be my advice as well.
Excellent. No, I think it's, and what is the kind of process? What do you need to do to gain HCPC?
So you need to kind of go online and the HCPC website, and HCPC looks at your basic entry-level undergrad program, whatever you've done. If it's your physiotherapy, they look at all your documents, that is your clinical documents, your educational documents, to see if they'll map it against the standards which the UK has, to see if that's equivalent. And usually most of our Indian universities and Pakistani universities and any other universities, they do lack with the clinical placement at some point. So they would like to see that either as a case study or as some amount of experience in working. So if you can gain those two, that's when you will be able to, they'll map you and they'll give you a number, a registration number, saying that you are eligible to work as a physiotherapist in the UK. But obviously, if your credentials are weak, they'll ask you to do some more, maybe write a case study again, or ask you to do some courses or so. So that is how it's done. But the good thing is you can do it from your home country. You do not have to be in the UK to do it.
Yeah.
There is kind of a misnomer or a kind of a information which has gone out, false information has gone out saying that if you are within the UK registered as a within a university, UK university makes it easier for you to get HCPC registration. It's not the case. All they look for is your undergraduate degree. Mm-hmm. If you finish your master's, then yes, it makes a difference. But you haven't finished your master's. But by the time you finish your master's, you'll waste a lot of time. So it's best to get your stuff sorted from your home country before you come here.
Yeah.
So registration is vital for you to find a job as a physiotherapist.
But presumably programs such as this will help when you're applying for a job.
Yes.
The fact that you've got a kind of post-basic qualification and a qualification that's based in the UK.
Yes. So because while that's what I advise my students when they kind of apply for jobs, even this afternoon, three of them had come to my office asking me how do I write my supporting statement for a job, which I said the best thing to do is if you're using your modules, which you've just learned in your MSc, you can use those modules in your supporting statement saying that you have completed them and you are advanced in them, like neurology or MSK or cardiology. And that will give the employer or the screener the idea as to, okay, these guys have done something at a UK level, which will help them. So it's good enough for us to take them at least for an interview. So that is something which I would advise. And yes, it does help.
Yeah.
Also, the advancing professional practice, the first module that we get in the first semester, I think that is quite useful because we understand our strengths, our weaknesses, where we need to develop ourselves. So that is very important when we are applying for jobs. We rate ourselves in how we are at the moment and what we can do to develop ourselves as a professional. So I feel that is very important when we are applying for a job.
No, and I guess it goes back to the reflection that you were talking about,
yes.
Abdullah, that just actually thinking about your strengths and weaknesses and thinking about, okay, there's something that I maybe need to do a bit more about learning more and becoming more confident. And yeah, so it's that's why I was saying about the kind of reflection and critical thinking are such crucial parts of being a professional physiotherapist. And it's obviously something that both of you have developed in the programme. So going on to the questions, this is something that I shamelessly pinched from another podcast about asking the students to think about questions for the next student. So we've got two, one from Blessing and one from Rosie, who were OTs in the last podcast. And you've kind of touched on both of these questions already, but I just wonder if there's anything else you would like to add. So Blessing said, what are your experiences of Glasgow and how have you fitted in? Abdullah, do you want to say if there's anything else you wanted to add about that?
Not really.
Yeah. How have you found Glasgow as a city?
As a city, beautiful. People are interesting. And since I'm living in the one of the student accommodations, so living in the city centre, so I can see people from different nationalities. And generally, especially the most of interaction happens when you go for a grocery or to going to the job as well. So interacting with those managers and the supervisors, they're really friendly there. And the good thing about them is that having a bit of laugh with you as well. So that's really good.
Glasgow banter.
Yeah. So that's really really good because you see having a normal robotic conversation with someone is different, but having a bit of laugh with someone, that's totally different. That really engages someone and develops a good friendship with them.
Good bond
with them. So if you're just having those simple transactory conversation, that's not really helpful.
Yeah.
So this is something I really love about Glasgow, is like everyone is out there, like you can have a chit chat with them.
Everyone is really friendly here. I mean, nobody will tell you that you are wrong in this or you did not do this well. They will give you a very, as sirs, like everyone gives a very constructive feedback. They don't tell you that you're very wrong in this. They just tell you that you could do this better if you do this. So that is one thing that's good. And also, I love the Scottish dance here. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
The Ceilidhs?
Yes.
Yeah, oh,
yes.
You've been to Ceilidhs? Yeah. Yes. So Ceilidhs are traditional Scottish dances that you would usually nowadays do have at weddings or kind of celebrations, but there's regular Ceilidhs that you can go along to in Glasgow, and yeah, they're quite something. I always find that the worst thing is when people know what they're doing. It's much more fun when people kind of, because we all learned them at school and we all have a vague recollection of how they go, but it's getting it wrong is half the fun, I think, as well. So I'm glad you said that, yeah, because it's that's a good excuse to get my kilt on as well. Yeah, so it's
For me, when I kind of came into Glasgow as a newbie, kind of a fresh immigrant, I would say, what caught my eye with Glasgow was Rangers and Celtic, the football, the craze for football we have here. And if you get stuck on a Glasgow derby, and the traffic here during those periods are absolutely rubbish. So that is what caught my eye. And I like a team, but I'm not going to say who that is on radio.
Partick Thistle, obviously.
Yes,
yeah. Although I have to say, if it's any worse than the traffic in New Delhi on no. any day, then
no, not really, not even close.
Marvelous. And then the question from Rosie is, what is the thing that you're most proud of having achieved since arriving in Glasgow? And it could be university related or out with the university. So, Ritika, do you want to start with that one?
Yeah. I think initially I used to study a lot alone, but now I've understood that learning in a group, learning in like peer group is very important, like studying here. So that is one thing that I'm proud of. Like I've arranged for everyone to meet up at a place. I've set up a study pod in the library, and we could all exchange our views, our opinions, and develop ourselves. So that was one thing that I'm very proud of. And the other thing, I've become a lot more independent. If you ask me to move to another country, I can do it without hesitating now. So that is one thing I'm very proud of.
Yeah. And when you're back home, then, do you think you'll be as independent, or do you think you'll go back to being?
That is a difficult thing. I would want to be pampered a bit when I go home.
Quite right.
Yeah. But yeah, I would be very, very independent when I go back home. I won't need any of those things, but I would want a little more, like, come and help me.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, Abdul.
For me, successfully pass my modules.
Yeah,
that's first, because you see, you're like, keeps you motivated and like gives you confidence, like you can do it, you've done it. So this is something I'm proud of, and the reason why I'm here is for my studies. So this I'm really proud of, and great, plus being more independent, able to. Obviously, what used to be happen with me back at home. Is talking to strangers, it was really, really difficult, because you're so used to around with your own circle, group of friends you've known for like since your childhood,
mm-hmm.
Your family members, cousins, relatives. So you're stuck in that same circle. So over here in a different country, everyone is technically strangers to you. So interacting with them, so I don't feel that sort of butterflies going in my stomach. So should I talk to him? No. Or should I just leave it? So this is something like giving confidence to talk to people and being more confident in your approach.
Excellent. Thanks. And thanks to Rosie and Blessing for those excellent questions. So now I'm going to ask you to come up with questions for the next student. So Abdullah, what's your question? What would you like me to ask the next students?
How could your university enhance the experience for international students?
Good question.
I would ask, how has your perspective changed after coming to GCU on your own job?
Marvellous. And one of the reasons I like doing that is because students come up with such good questions that I would never think of. So thank you very much for both of those. Artaban, is there anything else you would like to add?
Oh, nothing at all, Gordon. It's been a privilege to listen to these two talk about GCU and physiotherapy profession as such. And it's kind of heartening to see how motivated and how much they've developed from day one. Because I remember on his first day, he was in my office asking me questions, which I knew the answers to, but I wanted him to know the right way, so I sent him to the help desk to get more answers from him. But then he came down the second day, and then he apologized, and he said, yes, I'm sorry I came in with irrelevant questions, but I have relevant questions now. Can I ask them to you? And I do have these open days on Wednesdays, which kind of help the students kind of walk in anytime, make it kind of a level playing field for them, so they don't have to kind of email or get permission. So kind of make that can bridge that gap, I would say. So nothing at all. So to be honest, I'm really happy.
I mean, as an international student, you don't understand quite a lot of things around here. So I feel the walk-in sessions were very helpful. I mean, for me personally, I used to go there every week, and like I had a lot of doubts. I used to ask him about everything, basically not even academics, about other things as well. So I think he has guided us very well, and I'm very happy that he's my professor.
Quite right too. Abdullah, anything else?
I want to add, like, Dr. Artaban, because he has gone to the same route. He knows what the students have experienced. So right now, so he knows what are they thinking right now. So he guides them accordingly. Mm-hmm. So being international student as himself, so that helps. That helped us a lot because it makes him able to deliver our issues or problems much more easier discussing with them.
I think so. And I think generally, I mean, obviously Artaban's had personal experience of this, but I think there's so many of the programs, not just the physio programs, but have such a vibrant international classroom that it really enriches the learning experience for everyone, because everyone's coming with their own experience, their own perspective on things. And it's not this kind of just a UK focus on how to do things. It's all these different approaches. And I think as an academic, and I know I have an international role myself, but as an academic, it makes for a fantastic learning experience. And I learn every day from the students and their experiences. So it's a huge privilege for the academics as well to have such a vibrant and lovely international classroom, because it reflects practice as well, and it reflects everyday life. So yes, so thank you all for contributing.
Thank you so much.
So I'll just finish off the podcast by thanking Ritika, Abdullah and Artaban for their contributions today. And if you would like to find out more about the MSc Advanced Physiotherapy Practice Programme, then have a look on the GCU website. Or if you would like to find out anything else about the other programmes at GCU, please do that. So thank you all very much, and I hope you enjoyed listening.